So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 7, Text 4. Do we do the word for word or just straight? Okay, just to get with it. Asrakshit Bhagavan Vishvam.
Asrakshit Bhagavan Vishvam.
Gunamayatmamayaya.
Gunamayatmamayaya.
Taya samstapayatyeta. Uyaha pratya pidashati. Asrakshit calls to create. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Vishvam, the universe. Gunamaya, endowed with three modes of material nature. Atma, self, Mayaya, by the potency, Taya, by her, Samstapayati, maintains, Etat, all these, Bhuyaha, then again, Pratyapisyati, conversely dissolves also. By his self-sheltered potency of the three modes of material nature, the Lord has caused the creation of this universe. By her, he maintains the creation and conversely dissolves it again and again. This cosmic universe is created by the Lord for those living entities who are carried away by the illusory thought of becoming one with him by imitation. The three modes of material nature are for the further bewilderment of the conditioned souls. The conditioned living entity, bewildered by the illusory energy, considers himself a part of the material creation due to forgetfulness of his spiritual identity. And thus, he becomes entangled in material activities life after life. This material world is not for the purpose of the Lord himself, but is for the conditioned souls who wanted to be controllers due to the misuse of their God-gifted, minute independence. Thus, the conditioned souls are subjected to repeated births and death. Asrakshit Bhagavan Vishvam Gunamayatma Mayaya Taya Samstapayat Yetat Bhuyaha Pratyapidyasati Bhuyaha Pratyapidyasati. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Simati Shivaram Swami Yatanama. Glorious to Srila Prabhupada. So again, good morning everyone. Hare Krishna to you. I was looking through the translation and I didn't really understand by his self sheltered potency. I could only presume, please put me right if I'm wrong, that it means that he's not affected by the modes of material nature that he has created. Does that sound right? By his self-sheltered potency of the three modes of material nature. Does it sound okay? I don't know. That's what I'm thinking it might mean. But I.
Sounded right to me.
Excuse me?
I read it yesterday.
Oh, thank you. So the Lord has caused the creation of this universe. By her, he maintains the creation, conversely dissolves it again and again. So sometimes we wonder why we're not getting darshan of Krishna, or why we're not getting Krishna prem, or why we're not, you know, soaring the heights. But when you start to just consider the magnitude of Krishna for a start off, and our infinite, tiny, infinitesimal nature, it's not much we can either brag about or demand. When this translation says has created this universe, but we know that that there are tens of universes. They're unlimited universes. And any facet or aspect of each of those universes is enough to bewilder us. You know, a scientist will study all his life, the life of an ant, and still not know everything about the ant. He thinks he does, but then, you know, generally you'll find some new paper that's been developed by someone else who's looked into the life of the ant and found that there's more to know about the ant than he actually knew. So when you're thinking of all the different species, the 8,400,000 species, each one of them, a great mystery, actually. You know, we start mowing down and spraying all these bugs or introducing something into this particular biosphere, and we find that years later it's created havoc because that particular bug or that particular animal or pest was doing a valuable job cleaning up this and doing that and doing that. It was part of the whole process. In Britain, in the 70s and 80s, they started mowing down all the hedges, getting rid of the hedges, saying that we need more farmland, and also that lots of bugs and bad things live in the hedges, which are deleterious to the crops. Then 10 years later, they found out that the hedges were a vital part of the way in which agriculture was carried out, and that so we don't know too much, and neither, in a sense, do the demigods, even though they know so much and they're so powerful. They're just insignificant. I mean, we don't look at them in that way because they're very important. Brahma, we owe a lot to. Lord Shiva, we owe a lot to. And of course, Lord Vishnu, who's not a demigod, but we owe so much to them. But even all the demigods, we would faint if they walked through the door, or we would, you know, find them extremely worshipful because of their opulences and potencies. They're just a kind of almost an afterthought. They're just there because Krishna has allowed these living entities, this service. Yashaika Nishvasita Kala Matabi Alambya Jivanti Loma Vilaja Jagadandanata Vishnu Mansa Yasha Kalapishesho Govinda Madhipurusham Tamam Pajami. Brahma and other lords of the mundane world, appearing from the pores of hair of Mahavishnu, remain alive as long as the duration of one exhalation of Mahavishnu. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom Mahavishnu is the portion of a portion. So Mahavishnu, I remember in the 60s there was a group called the Mahavishnu Orchestra, but only the older people who were would know about that. And John McLaughlin was this incredible guitarist. I think even Carlos Santana was in it as well. It was another great guitarist. And they were worshipping Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu is small potatoes compared to Krishna. And all the, what to speak of, the demigods that issue forth from the pores of his hair. So, when we start to build up a small picture of Krishna, of who he is and what he's doing and what he's done and what he will do. There was a song in the 70s. You are everything and everything is you. Krishna, you... Well, I didn't say Krishna. I think it was said darling or something like that. But because he's our darling too. And he's really the only person who can claim to be everything. You know, Durga is running the show along with Lord Shiva. She's running it. But Shishti, Stiti, Palaya, Sadhana, Shakti, Eka, Chayeva, Yasya, Bhuvanani, Bibharati, Durga, Ichchana, Rupa, Mapi, Yasya, Chitesta, Tesa. Govinda Madhipurusham, that boy again, Tamaham Bachami. So the external potency, Maya, is of the nature of the shadow of the chit potency and is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving and maintaining potency of this mundane world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda in accordance with whose will Durga Devi is conducting herself. So again, you see, Durga is almighty. To us, she's almighty. But she's in accordance with Krishna's will. She maintains. She doesn't have the power without his sanction to do it. And so, Lord Brahma, the same. The Shekhar is the Sikha, the Matavya Lambya. So, this wonderful Lord who is created, maintained, this, he keeps himself aloof from it all. And even though it's part of him, it's not part of him, as Lord Chaitanya points out with the Achintabheda-tattva process, or law, should I say, that Krishna is within and without the creation. There is some... What was that shloka now? I can't remember the shloka, but Krishna says, because some people say, well, Krishna is part of the material universe, so therefore he must be under the modes of material. But Krishna says, no, I'm not under the modes of material nature. Deluded by the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above them, and inexhaustible. This divine energy of mine is, you know, he says it's so difficult to understand or to cross over, but one who surrenders unto me can easily cross over it. So Krishna is aloof from everything, and at the same time, he's completely involved. Ekopyasara jayitam jagadanda kotim yatschaptirasta jagadanda chayatananta andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindamadi purusham tamaham pachami. So it says, he is an undifferentiated entity. So Krishna is undifferentiated. So there's no difference between the potency and the possessor. So there's no difference between all of this, Krishna's energy, everywhere, everything is him. And yet somehow, even though there's no difference from it, still he's aloof from it. So unbelievable miracle we're living in. Someone the other day said to us, you know, the problem with you guys is, you know, you talk about these miracles, and but where is the witness? Where are the witnesses? I mean, you know, you could read about it in your books, but that's 500 years ago, or that's 1,000 years ago, or that's 5,000 years ago. You know, where is the miracle? Well, you know, you're talking, where are the witnesses? Where are the witnesses? But I said, we are the witnesses. You're a witness right now of the miracle. What are you talking about? Where? Just seeing through that eye. If that eye was plucked out, who would be the miracle worker who would replace it for you? There isn't one on the planet who could do it for you. There isn't a miracle. But you're seeing through that miracle right now and thinking, where are the miracles? The miracle is that you're seeing all this amazing stuff happen. The heavy, heavy, heavy weight of the earth. It's beautifully balanced and weightless in the ether. That's a miracle, isn't it? It's such an amazing miracle. Try to get a feather that's so light and throw it up in the air and make it stay there. No, you know, you're going to have to keep going like this to do it. This is such a miracle. Seeing through the eye, such a miracle. Look at the nail. How is that working? How is it something in the nail bed is making it work? And we're thinking, it's just a nail, just clip it off, don't you? And you pick your nose with it. That's all it is. No! It's an amazing miracle. Every part of you. Every part of what we see and what we don't see. I mean, we're only talking about the mundane world which we can perceive. Think about the subtle realms. The subtle realms, they are just as amazing and stupendous as this. Or the angels and the fairies and the devas and the ghosts and the spirits. They're all just amazing. That the whole world is there, unseen to us. And we're going around thinking, yes, what I see is what is. No, what you don't see is pretty much what is. These actions that you don't see, that the thoughts and the feelings that you don't see have created this physical body. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavantya jatanti kalevaram. tam tamivaiti kanteya sadata bhavitaha. Whatever state of being you remember at time of death, next body, blueprint is there. And you see this thing here and you think, where's it come from? It's come from your thinking, your feeling, and your willing from your previous life. And what we're doing now will create our next life. Fortunately, with some error, even though I'm very unqualified, we're doing the right thing. And the next life, we'll get a spiritual body. Wow! Way beyond the subtle bodies. Subtle bodies are still filled with desire, still filled with lamentation, still filled with lust, anger, greed, etc. At one degree or another. Even you go to a planet where their bodies, the subtle body is just made of pure intelligence. Still, it's still a subtle body, and it's not a spiritual body. And you may travel all over the universe, and many of us have in our previous lives as yogis. But you won't find an end to this material creation because it's endlessly mutable, Krishna says. So here we were saying, by her he maintains and conversely dissolves the three modes of material nature. Krishna says again, just to repeat, I am not under the modes of material nature. Deluded by the modes of goodness, passion and ignorance, the whole world does not know me. We don't know him. We can't claim to know him unless someone from the spiritual realms brings news of him, which we can thank Srila Prabhupada for. And of course our spiritual masters who are preserving his memory, and his sons and daughters who continue the legacy. So we have this great opportunity now before we pop our clogs to get serious about our spiritual life, take advantage of what we've been given, and go with the flow, so to speak. And what flow are we looking for? We're looking for that flow that sweeps us upwards on the wings of the swan of love back to the spiritual world. On the wings of the swan of love, we will fly. On the snow-white back of truth, we'll gently glide. Higher than the eagle, softer than the dove, we'll go sailing home on the wings of the swan of love. So that swan is waiting there. He's in a parking lot, waiting for us. But we have to know the direction to the parking lot. Like last night after the Harinam, they said, go to the parking lot and, one of the Nanda Prabhu will be there to pick you up and take you back. And I was walking along thinking, hang on a second, I've just been so inebriated with the doings of the Harinam and all the excitement that I couldn't find the parking lot for a while. And then I remembered. So... if it was time of death and I forgot it, it was no use remembering it later. I've been remembering it in my next birth. Oh yeah, that's where it is. So Krishna's so amazing, and I'm sorry but I'm a bit addicted to Brahma Samhita. I want to quote another verse, but just to show you, just to prove to you that Brahma's words, infallible words, take it a step further than we can possibly imagine. When it says here he's in charge of the world, this world, again, angani asya sakalendri vrittimanti pasyanti panti kalyanti jiramjivanti ananda jimai. So he says, what was the translation? We're singing angani asya sakalendri. It's lovely, isn't it? And then I was often singing, Venam kunanta maravinda delaita. All these, and I was thinking, hang on a second, what does this all mean? I thought I'd better learn it because I'm singing it with such gusto, loud, confident, and not knowing what it was, So angani asya is a transcendental form, full of bliss, truth, and substantiality, and is thus full of the most wonderful splendor. Each of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in itself the full-fledged functions of all the organs, and eternally sees, this is a bit up, and eternally sees and maintains and manifests the universe is both spiritual and mundane. So Krishna is doing everything, and yet at the same time he's not interested in everything. He's just interested in having fun, having singing, dancing, having festivals all day long. So he expands himself into all these other neo-Christians, Krishnas, Vishnu, Narayan, etc., to do all this incredible work, which we're all amazed with. Mahavishnu, wow, John McLaughlin playing this guitar a million miles an hour, these fantastic notes, all these rags and different timings, 5-4, 7-4. Normally, rock musicians just play in 4-4, occasionally in 3-4, but 5 and 7s and 10s, and he's doing all this, looking at Mahavishnu, completely mind blown. And Krishna's not even, he's would yawn to think about it in a sense. He's much more interested in just having, you know, stealing butter and dancing and kissing and loving and hugging and all this stuff. So Krishna's given up his godhood. He's chucked his mace and his chakra and all the other stuff. He's chucked it out the window, chucked it all out the window and said, you know, where are my Gopa friends? They come knocking on the door for him in the morning. They're completely nuts about him. And they're knocking, they've hardly been able to sleep all night dreaming about when he's coming out. What to speak of the gopis who just left him, you know. And Krishna, of course, has just jumped back through the window from his pastimes with the gopis and feigning sleep. And then Mother Yashoda comes in, or one of the cowherders come in, or, you know, one of the Raktaka or Patraka comes in to waken him. He does this big yawn and stretch, you know, like he's had a deep sleep and he's waking up. He's just come through the window 2 minutes before. You know, what, you can't carry a club and a disc and a chakra and all that stuff through the window if you've got to jump through that quick, isn't it? It's, you know, you give it to Vishnu. He wants that stuff. He likes that stuff. And those people who love Vishnu, and there are people like that, and nothing wrong with them. I wish I was half as pure and as good as them. But they're loving him in the awe and reverence way. So, but those people that we're being trained up to become like, we're playful, we're naughty, mischievous. Of course, we, you know, sometimes we step out of line a little bit, like myself. And then my wife has to pull me back into the line and stuff. She's here today, so I'm trying to behave myself. Sati Mata's here. So, so Krishna, yes, we know he's caused the creation of the universe, and now we know, of course we knew before, but he's created all of them. But not only has he created the material universes, but he's created by his potency for the Balaram, he's created the spiritual worlds as well. And they're there, and also Lord Shiva's worlds. Was it Goloka Nami Nijadamni Tale Chatasya Devi Maheshahari Dama Suteshu Teshu Tete Prabhava Nijavihitasya Yena Govindam Adipurusham Tamam Bhajami? Lowest of all is this Devi Dham, this mundane world. Next above it, Mahesh Dham, which arcs into partly into the spiritual world. And then next above that is Hari Dham. But the Hari Dham is inconceivably large, with planets which are immeasurable. And this is where Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu have their pastimes. But at the top of them all, Goloka Dham exists. Above them all, it says, is Goloka Dham, Krishna's own realm. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, from whom all the other leaders of those graded realms have received their power and their ability to do what they do. So no wonder we're having a bit of trouble seeing him when we're chanting or, you know, perfecting our yoga. It takes a bit of time. But sitting here and here are all these lovely devotees who've been devotees for many lifetimes. Some of you are even reborn again Prabhupada disciples without even knowing him. Some of you are Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciples. Some of you are Lord Jesus' disciples. Very few of you are here for the first time. Anyway, that's my experience of what I've seen over the last 35 years of whatever I do. So we are so grateful to be in this position. And I wrote a song. I'm not going to, you know, expose you to it this time, even though I do go a little nuts from time to time. But it's about thanks. And the song that our hearts should be singing, I'm sure is singing, is this song of thanks. Because this gratitude, I found, is the most powerful adjective, or the most powerful feeling, or way of the soul. Because from gratitude, humility can come. Because sometimes we think, how can we get humility? And of course, we get humility by performing sadhana, one thing, hanging around with others who have got humility and hoping it will rub off on us. And of course it will and does. But also to inculcate a mood of gratitude. What does it mean? It means don't take for granted everything that's happening for you, you know, or be expectatious of this, of that. Oh, I'm going to lead in kirtan today. Oh, I'm going to be at the front of the Mahaprasad queue because I'm hungry, because I've been doing service. Oh, this, oh, that, you know. We have to realize that we can't be expectatious as devotees, but if we can be accepting our lot, you know, oh, this has come. Like when someone asked Prabhupada about Calcutta was being bombed. What will we do when the bomb comes? And he said, oh, this is bomb Krishna. This is kind of this is also a sense of gratitude. Krishna's coming in the window or through the roof as a bomb. I'm grateful for that because he's taking me back. So this gratitude is such an important quality that we can... if we're not feeling that, you know, that grateful, we can just start by looking around for things we can be grateful at. Well, I'm not in the hospital with an iron lung. I'm not in hospital with having to have dialysis 3 times a week. You know, we can start like that. We can start, oh, I'm not bemoaning the death of my son or daughter like such and such is. We can start off like that and work our way up. And then we can start getting a little more philosophical, or even... death, people are, the non-devotees are just completely smashed. How do they take such a time? How do they deal with such a time? Fortunately, I know both how to overcome death and even the death of a loved one. I know how to, even if they're not Krishna conscious, I know how to guide them. I know, like the mission control at NASA guides the satellites way out in the universe doing this and doing that. I know how to guide them through prayer, through chanting for them, through doing sacrifices for them. I've got so much to be grateful for. You know, oh, is that enough? Oh, continue on. Continue on. And you can just expand the whole gratitude folder and portfolio to enormous size. And by the time you've done that, then you think, okay, life is not so bad. I can get on with this. I can deal with this. And then if you can't deal with it, then you go to someone and you just say, please, I need to reveal my mind to you. Could you help me? And you get help. And we've all had experience of that. At some time or other, someone has come along. Whether it be... it doesn't always have to be a guru. It can be just a child. A child runs into the room and starts jumping up and down to the music and singing. And you think, what have I lost between there and here? What have I pushed overboard, you know? And you find there's plenty of stuff that you can learn from, plenty of people that you can learn from. Just looking at nature, the marvels of it. You know, they pay how much for a Rembrandt? You're lucky if you get one of the cheapest Rembrandts now for 20 or 30 million. Go and look at sunset from the roof. and see Krishna knocking them out for free and take, you know, absorb it into our hearts. This is amazing. What's going on here? There was a song, "At night the stars put on the show for free." Up on the roof by the drifters, sorry. Up on the roof. "At night the stars put on a show for free." And all we had to do is just open our eyes. And there's beautiful music. We can open our ears to it. And there's beautiful words. We can say them and hear ourselves say them. We can encourage others to say them, which will encourage us. And there's the most beautiful words, the Maha Mantra, which has been given to us. Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. All the way. Hot off the press. You know, we love to have something off the press, don't we? We love to have sometimes you go to devotees' places and there's a bakery and you smell the baking in the morning. You've had that. You go, "Oh, this is fantastic. We mustn't enjoy it too much. Got to offer it to Krishna first." But, you know, these wonderful things. Krishna is doing something hot off the press every moment. Look and see this beautiful pujari. See how beautifully he's dressed, how much devotion he's got. He's just offering everybody a blessing and a benediction with the articles of worship. They're coming out to us from Krishna directly. With Tulsi Devi there, pure devotee. Take it seriously. She can do business for you. She can help you. The lordships, my goodness, where do you begin with it? So beautifully dressed, always smiling. We're a fountain of sorrow and they're a fountain of light. And we have to become a particle of their fountain of light, like we are. We are a particle of Krishna's love. Prabhupada said, Krishna has given us this life in the purport and the independence to love or not to love him. And us idiots, we decided, we're just going to have a look over there. It looks pretty good. Just over there, that place there. One minute, a second, I'll be back. Over the hills and far away, we went. And then all of a sudden, "Whoa, what's this? I've got all this amazing, beautiful form. Wow!" And then, "Hey, do that." "Hey, they do it." "Hey, go there." And then, "Oh, I can fly here, do that, do everything." All of a sudden, "Wow. What's that you're drinking?" "Oh, it's some sort of stuff, you know, we like to drink here. Let me taste it." And you get it and you feel so good, but you're not drunk. I remember, you know, my son said that I was a happy drunk, so he didn't mind me getting drunk. But there are some drunks who are not very happy when they get drunk. But these people can drink this stuff and they get drunk, they intoxicate, but they're not falling about anywhere. And they can have unlimited kind of liaisons with this and that and the other. So all of a sudden, "Wow, like this, have some of this." Forgotten, Krishna's forgotten. And then, you know, slowly, bit by bit, over the fabulous thousands and millions of years of time, slowly that form becoming more and more attached to its prestige, its power, its glory, falls a little bit and falls a bit more and falls a bit more and falls a bit more till we find ourselves and we're down like, "What's happened? This happened to me. What happened?" Independence happened. So, you know, we have so many wars of independence, isn't it? The French against the bourgeoisie, the Americans against the colonial British, and, you know, so many other wars of independence. And we're also, and where do they get us? Okay, they did improve things. It must be said, there are some good things happened. But still, where are the other people free? Are they free? We're all living. We're in the shadow potency. You know, we talk about the chit potency as a shadow. The Durga is a potency of the chit potency is a shadow. Well, we're a shadow of the American dream, isn't it? I'm part of the American dream. And kick their legs high like this and strut on stage We're all part of them. McDonald's is chasing us everywhere. Burger King is chasing us everywhere. Everywhere you go, you see something from the American dream. Now, we love the Americans. They're fantastic. They've got some good ideas. But they need also to remember that, you know, it's not enough to just, you know, for everybody to be taking part in this, the miasma of the American dream. We have to go into Krishna's dream. Because Krishna's dream is the only dream that is a reality. When we dream of Krishna, or I have to say, in my absolute utter disgrace, I have never been able to dream of Krishna. Never. Too materialistic. But people do. And they have these amazing dreams. My Guru Maharaj Shivaram Swami, he's always dreaming. Indrajuma Swami told me, you should know about your Guru Maharaj's dreams. He said, they're astonishing. And he has them all the time. And I heard that he's written all these dreams down, which will be published after he's left his body. I'm praying, I was saying to Sundar Nitai Prabhu, who's a lovely devotee too, who's soon to go back to Godhead, that I hope I never read that book. But so these dreams are realities, and if you have a dream of Prabhupada, it's so different. Fortunately, he's tolerated me a few times and popped in, and they are so different from other dreams, isn't it? Because, you know, because they're real. And the other stuff is based on just, you know, our material desires and stuff like that. So, how am I doing on time? Okay. So, any comments or questions? I don't know if I'll be able to answer them, but so far. Otherwise, I'll just keep blabbering on. Oh, yeah, gratitude, by the way, gratitude. So, I've got to tell you about gratitude. I don't know, I said so much stuff, I got lost. But I wrote this song, and I call it Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Because for me, that mantra, because every mantra means something to someone, doesn't it? If you think about it. But Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, for me, it is a gratitude mantra. It's a gratitude mantra. Om, of course, we know is the sound of God. Of course, the Mayavadis think it is God, and that they are God. But Om is the sound of God, which morphs into the Gayatri Mantra, etc. And there's another whole thing with that. Namo, my respects. Why are we respecting? Because we're grateful. Om Namo Bhagavate. To that person who is the, who has, to the extreme, wealth, strength, fame, knowledge, beauty, and renunciation. To Bhagavate Vasudevaya, to that son of Lord Vasudeva, who has the purest heart. The heart is there's no such heart as pure as Krishna's, except for, of course, Radhas and Balarams and all these expansions. So I think we're convinced that Krishna's two Bhagavan Swami, is the boss. And yet, as I said, he doesn't want to be the boss. He just wants to be one of the lads. But he's an extremely gifted one of the lads. Of course, all the lads that surround him are extremely gifted in what they do. Balaram is even better looking than Krishna. Can you imagine a god that can make someone more beautiful than him? And then still become be the all attractive. Still be more attractive. How is that? Krishna is a conundrum. Krishna is a dichotomy. Krishna is way out. So I say thanks for the what are the words in that song? Thanks for the I'm gonna sing it. Sorry about this. Thanks for the seasons that you bring. Thanks for the birds upon the wing. Thanks for our voices with which we sing. Om Namo Bhagavate. Om Namo Bhagavate.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Thanks for the hope that springs anew. Thanks for all the ways that you are true. Thanks for the times, oh, you pull me through. Om Namo Bhagavate.
Three times, everybody.
Om Namo Bhagavate.
One more.
Om Namo Bhagavate.
Vasudevaya.
Vasudevaya. Thanks for the patience that you show. Thanks for holding on when I let go. Thanks for the space when I needed to grow.
Everybody.
Om Namo Bhagavate. Om Namo Bhagavate. Om Namo Bhagavate. Vasudevaya.
Oh, you sing so nice. Thank you for that too.
Thanks for the earth on which we stand. Thanks for the stars beneath your hand. Thanks for those footprints on the sand.
Everybody sing.
Om Namo Bhagavate. Om Namo Bhagavate. Om Namo Bhagavate. Vasudevaya.
Oh, you're so good. The devotees are so forgiving. They're so... You just joined in, you didn't care, you just said, okay, tolerate this guy. Thank you so much. And you know, I have to say, today is the day my mum left her body. I know perhaps I should shut the Bhagavatam, but no, mum's part of it. She's a devotee, she chanted four rounds. When my dad left about 10 years ago, I said, Mum, time to be a vegetarian, wouldn't you agree? Because dad wasn't so into it. Yes, she said, so she became. I said, Mum, time to chant, don't you agree? She said, yes. So I said, how many can you manage? So she said, I think I could do one. I said, Mum, you could do more than one. So she said, well, how many could I do? So I said, well, could you do four? So she said, yeah, I'll do four. And so she stuck to that right the way through. So we were fortunate enough to be there when she left her body. And she was she was looking at... Krishna's Rasa, she liked the picture of Krishna's Rasa dance. You know, everybody from my family got ideas above their station. So I told Sri Brahmaraj, she really likes to look at the Rasa dance picture. And he went, because Maharaj is super conservative. And he went, well, if she meditates on that, when Krishna comes by, asking if she can have a dance. And I said, Maharaj! And she went, where's the harm? So, Maharaj is a very merciful person. So, anyway, she was looking at, the picture of Srimati Radharani at the end, because after all, this is who we're invited to serve by Srila Prabhupada's grace. We're all devotees of Srimati Radharani rather than Sri Krishna. And when she left her body, we were singing away. My brother Pete was there. We were on watch. Actually, I'd been going home in the nights where she was in a hospice, and there were super, really, really nice people. She was in a hospice, and they were really, really looking after her so nicely and making sure that she was vegetarian. And I had a recording of mine with Radhe Sham on it. And the nurses got so into it, they were coming in to me and saying, what is that music that's playing? I said, oh, this is Radhe Sham, this is Radha and Krishna's names. Oh, where can I get it? I love that. Oh, you can't have a bad thought when you've got that playing. I said, well, I seem to manage to have some or other from time to time. And they were so my mum really liked it. And so we would be playing 24 hours a day. And so I'd stay with her during the day. And then at night time, she seemed like she was okay. I'd go home. And then this day, my brother Pete came. And he'd come from a long way from Suffolk. And I said, Pete, we'll take it in hours. I think we should stay tonight. I feel something's going to happen. So we stayed. And I said, I'm going to do 2 hours. And so I did 2 hours. And then Pete did 2 hours. But during his 2 hours, Super Soul woke me up. And he was asleep. He'd gone off. So I thought, oh, he can't do it. So I woke up. And I started chanting with Mum, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Then all of a sudden, a breath started to go fast. And I thought, this is it, you know. And I said, she was doing that, so I was chanting with her for a while. And then I said, Pete, wake up. So Pete woke up. And I said, Pete, anything you want to say to Mum? Because he's a non-believer, you know. I said, anything you want to say to Mum? Yes, he said, Mum, you know, I love you so much. He adored my mum. He still does, of course. He said, Mum, and he kissed her on the forehead. And I said, okay, you finished, Pete? So he said, yeah. I said, okay, right. Got next to Mum's ear. Mum, focus on Krishna. Focus on Krishna. Run to him with your arms outstretched. I mean, of course, who am I? I'm not no guru. And I don't know what's really happening on the other side. But, you know, we can be hopeful. That Krishna will be there with his arms open wide. Even for a non-devotee, I shouldn't say non-devotee, but someone who's not following, of course she's following all the regular principles, but you know, she wasn't doing 16 rounds and performing service like you guys. Anyway, I just really chanted strong and sweet and hard, and she just left painlessly and went. And I was so happy for her. And then, that morning, I had to cremate Sachi's mum, who just died 2 weeks before. And it was time to cremate that. And I had to do this. We were up all night. And then I had a quick bath, and then we went to cremate Sachi's mum. And on the way there, Grungi was following in a car behind us. This huge flock of swans, white swans, flew from one left side to the right side across our path like that. And I knew Krishna was saying, it's happening. On the wings of the swan of love, you will rise. And I just knew that wherever she was, it was a wonderful destination. And we had nothing to... I just knew. I believe in those sort of things. And I'm always reading the signs of nature. But I'm not attached to those things. They just come unbidden. And I saw it and I knew she was going to be right. And I knew Sachi's mum was also going to be all right as well. And we had a nice funeral for her, and then we had a great one for my mum. Boy George came and sang Bow Down, Mister. And though I couldn't really ask the congregation to sing Hare Krishna, we were doing all these songs about Krishna. And I sang some self-penned songs on Gurangi, and Siddhartha, my son, who's got an amazing voice, sang three-part stuff to mum. Don't look back, oh mama, don't look back. You know, you're going home to Krishna. Don't forget about us. Forget about this deal here. Don't look back, mama. And it was just nice. And then George got up and he sang, from Bombay to Bangalore, all the Hindus. And then, because he said, and at the end, he said, okay, everybody, up, up, sing Hare Krishna. And they're all my uncles and aunties, some of them. And then, but they sang, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And we were dancing and singing. We had such a party. You know, Sundar Nitai is a good old Irish. Well, his body is Irish. He's fully Golokan. But he comes from Ireland, and they have like what they call wakes. I don't know if you have them here, but the Irish, they have the body in the corner, sometimes standing up, you know, bolt upright because of rigor mortis. And they're bolt upright in the corner watching, and then everyone's having a dance. We were doing exactly the same thing. My mum was a Casey, so she was Irish, you know, she was an Irish person. But it's first generation. So, sorry about this. I don't know, my dear lordships, what you're thinking about, what I'm speaking about. But I'm asking for forgiveness, not to Krishna, because he probably won't forget this, but to Gaur Nitai, Lord Gauranga's, because he's Adosha Darshi, he doesn't see the fault. So my dear Lord, please forgive me if I'm going a bit excited and saying the wrong things, but I know that you only see the good in me, so thank you. And please bless my mum. This is her a disappearance date, please bless her with ecstatic love for you. I know that she will come back as a devotee, and she will have every opportunity to serve you in such a way. So please, I know you've probably already made arrangements, but please, if you haven't, what about it? And for Sachi's mum too. And for everybody else. Gaur Bhakti Vrinda. So I'm going to ask again, give you a second to see if anybody make any comments or suggestions, or even if his suggestion is don't let Jayadev do the class again before he goes. Is everybody okay on it? Krishna's too Bhagavan Swayam. Isn't that nice? Krishna's the boss of all, so we haven't got anything to worry. And he's expanded into every atom in his fullness. Ekopya Sarva Chaitam. Andantarasta Paramanu Chayantarastam. He's expanded into. So what are we worried about? Like I said to my Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, I'm scared of flying. In my last life, I died in a plane. So, in the war. Seriously. And so I said to Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, I'm scared of flying, you know, and I don't like it in places. What's your problem? He said, Krishna will soon give you another body. I thought he was going to say, you know, take a deep breath, chant like this, and do that, and do this. Or something, you know, some mystical sort of stuff. And he said, what's your problem? Krishna will soon give you another body. Like, what's he saying there? Why are you fearful? Why don't you be fearless? Why are you fearful? Krishna's in every atom. He's organizing everything. Okay, it might hurt a little bit, but don't worry, it'll be over quickly. So, the Sankirtan devotees are the greatest example. Apart from mothers who accept children in their tummy, they're pretty fearless to go through that stuff. Ow! No! But the Sankirtan boys and girls are the best because they're most fear. Even they're fearful, they still go out and do it. I think that the devotees are the most rock and roll people on the planet. One day I was walking along Oxford Street in Civis. I was going to a shop somewhere, and Jay Pataka Maharaj came along on the other side. Fortunately, he didn't see me without a tilak and stuff. And he had about 30 or 40 devotees really going for it. And he had those great big wombas, you know. So that's my sound in my mind that they sound like. And these two beautiful looking girls just walked past me and stopped. Really, like, I don't know, 19, 20 years of age. Gorgeous looking, very mode of goodnessy type of, you know, like demigoddish type of. And they looked across at these. And I thought, what are they going to say? And they went, wow, that is fantastic. That is far out. They were saying, wow. And I'm thinking, sometimes we think we're a bit, you know, out of place, out of touch. No, we're the best. You're simply the best. Better than all the rest. Because we love all the rest and we think they're better than us. And that's our qualification. We think everybody else is better than us. Isn't it? We do. I mean, that is my only qualification. I look around everyone I see. Not just in the temple, but outside. But I see that they're better than me. In something. Maybe not in everything. Been some things, and that means they're better than me. And that's our devotee's qualification. That's our gratitude, you know. Oh, thank you for giving me that lesson for that little kid. Kids say amazing things to you, don't they? Why are you doing that? That's wrong. Oh, excuse me, right. Why are you eating before you said the prayer, Uncle Jayadev? Oh, no, I just was, did it in my head. And worse than that, and worse than that. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON Guru Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.